Welcome to Creation, Myth, or Miracle. This is your host, ex-atheist Richard Walker. Greetings once again. On this episode, we're going to talk about a belief system that is gaining a great deal of traction within the Christian church, unfortunately, and that is theistic evolution. And I want to talk about some of the details of what that might mean, and also especially look at where it leads, and we're going to look at some of the major proponents within the theistic evolution arena. Essentially, a theistic evolutionist appears to be, and this is to the best that I can discern, based upon reading a number of their writings, asking some questions, trying to find out, what do you mean when you say you're a theistic evolutionist? The best I can tell is the following. They absolutely, completely accept the current pronouncements of mainstream science related to neo-Darwinian evolution. They tend to be adamantly against the idea of even intelligent design. That is, they therefore support the notion that life exists as the result of an undirected process. And yet, somehow, they still believe God exists. They'll often claim they still believe the Bible, though that's not always true. Many of them don't pretend that anymore. But when you ask for some details about what role does God play in this, where's the theistic part of theistic evolution, I find a complete lack of any details at all. Some will essentially say, well, God set up the laws of nature so that as soon as the Big Bang went poof, from that point forward, God doesn't have to intervene at all because he set up the laws of nature and the constants of physics, etc., such that undirected physical evolution would lead to life, and then biological evolution would lead to man. And along the way, every single step of that way, they fully accept the current pronouncements of mainstream science, and often present those as though obviously they're true, and why would you possibly challenge or deny science? And I truly don't think I'm overstating it with this summary. I've asked on this broadcast before if any of you listening are theistic evolutionists, and you can enlighten me as to the theistic part of that, I am genuinely interested. Post something at my website, creationmythormiracle.com, or drop me an email. Let me know what you think. I'm genuinely curious. Now, on to the main reason for doing this particular episode. What seems to be happening on a not infrequent basis is that we have professors at Christian colleges who absolutely promote evolution, big time promote it, much more so in the classroom than they do generally to the public, although that seems to be changing. More and more of them are overtly claiming to be evolutionists now. They have been evolutionists for a long time and have been promoting that in the classroom, but now they're willing to go public with those statements. What's really disturbing is to read some of the statements from these individuals as to where it leads them in terms of their personal belief. What do they actually believe? And we're going to take a look at one particular individual who has been fairly high profile, Dr. Carl Giberson. And there's a very recent article over at creation.com titled, Carl Giberson Unmasks Himself, written by Don Patton. Well, who is Dr. Carl Giberson? He is a professed Christian. He was a seminary teacher and former physics professor at Eastern Nazarene College in Quincy, Massachusetts. He resigned in 2011 from there after 27 years. He recently wrote a column lamenting that 2013 was a terrible year for evolution. Catalysts for his sadness included the success of Dr. Stephen Meyer's book, Darwin's Doubt, which exposes the problem of the Cambrian explosion for the evolutionary story, and a recent poll that showed a 6% drop in support for evolution in the United States since the last poll in 2010. So Dr. Giberson is sad that Stephen Meyer's book, Darwin's Doubt, is being successful. That is, many people are reading it. Well, what's resulting when they read it? they are presented with the scientific evidence as to what occurred at the Cambrian explosion. And what that is the sudden appearance, speaking in geologic time terms, using the evolutionary time scale. The fossil record just shows that all at once, there are numerous highly complex creatures in the fossil record. Almost every body plan that exists today shows up all at once with zero evidence for any preceding creatures that could have led to them by an evolutionary pathway. It is a complete and total mystery to evolutionists as to how in the world these creatures show up in the fossil record like that. This has been known to be a problem since the days of Charles Darwin himself, and we've had more recent finds, additional fossils, and the problem has simply gotten much, much worse. Combined with what we've learned about how these creatures develop from an initial cell, embryonic development, and what goes on there genetically speaking, simply makes the problem yet worse again, because we know of the enormous theoretical problems at the cellular level with the introduction from nowhere of all the information needed to build these different body plan types. So this is truly an enormous problem, and Dr. Meyer's book, Darwin's Doubt, is having an impact on the thinking of many. And so that makes Dr. Carl Giberson sad. Now what's interesting about that is, why does it make him sad? The question ought to be, is Stephen Meyer correct or isn't he? If evolution's true, then provide the evidence that explains the creatures that show up in the Cambrian explosion. Nobody has done that. Nobody has even attempted, really, to do that. Almost every single so-called review of Dr. Meyer's book completely ignores the content of the book. It's rather astounding. Read some of those for yourself. If you're a skeptic, take a look at the criticisms of Darwin's Doubt and ask yourself this question. Is there any scientific content to these criticisms that address the problems expressed by Stephen Meyer? Truth is, most of the reviewers have never read the book. Here's their thought process. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, biological evolution is true. There's simply no question of that. Therefore, there must be an explanation, and Dr. Stephen Meyer is making what must be a false claim in stating that this points to evidence for intelligent design, that information comes from intelligence, and here we have a signal for intelligence. That claim simply can't be true because I know evolution is a fact. Now, what's interesting to me is you would think that would be the perfect spot for theistic evolutionists to jump in and say, aha, that's where God did it. Do you know of any theistic evolutionists that have written like that? I don't. And the reason is they would get attacked, just like Stephen Meyer is, by mainstream evolutionary science. And that is the last thing they want to do. And so Dr. Giberson laments the fact that Stephen Meyer's book is doing well. He also laments his exit from Eastern Nazarene College, which occurred 3 years after his publication of his book, Saving Darwin, How to Be a Christian and Believe in Evolution, which was published in 2008. We'll take a look at some of the things Dr. Giberson said himself about his own beliefs when we come back. On this episode, we are considering the implications of a belief in theistic evolution, and we're looking specifically at a recent article, Carl Giberson Unmasks Himself, discussing some recent statements made by Dr. Carl Giberson, a high-profile theistic evolutionist. Now, he claims that evolution does not threaten the Christian faith. But consider his own words from his book that we mentioned a moment ago, Saving Darwin, How to Be a Christian and Believe in Evolution, in which he wrote the following. My belief in God is tinged with doubts, and in my more reflective moments, I sometimes wonder if I am perhaps simply continuing along the trajectory of a childhood faith that should be abandoned. As a purely practical matter, I have compelling reasons to believe in God. My parents are deeply committed Christians and would be devastated were I to reject my faith. My wife and children believe in God, and we attend church together regularly. Most of my friends are believers. I have a job I love at a Christian college that would be forced to dismiss me if I were to reject the faith that underpins the mission of the college. Abandoning belief in God would be disruptive, sending my life completely off the rails. I can sympathize with Darwin as he struggled against the unwanted challenges to his faith. Now, think about what Dr. Guyberson said. Is he really a Christian? If he thinks that just going to church because his family expects him to and they would be disappointed if he didn't makes him a Christian, that isn't how the Bible defines a Christian, is it? It's very interesting. It's as though he is saying, I have to hang on to my belief in Christianity, even though I know it's completely false. Why do I know that? Because I know evolution is completely true. And he hangs on to his belief in God for purely practical reasons, because it makes his life simpler and better, not because it's actually true. That is the exact opposite of what Christian faith truly is. It's a redefinition of the word believe. Dr. Guyberson believes in evolution, meaning he thinks that it's factual, that it matches reality. He says he hangs on to a belief in Christianity, but he doesn't think it's historically accurate. He doesn't think it matches reality, and he does so for purely practical reasons. Now think further about his time as a professor at a Christian college, where he's sort of pretending to be a Christian. This isn't unusual, by the way. There have been other fairly high-profile theistic evolutionist professors who were teaching at Christian colleges and went all the way from claiming to be just a conservative, full-blown Christian to eventually a theistic evolutionist, all the way to an agnostic. In the meantime, they were teaching their belief system to hundreds and hundreds of students at Christian colleges. Now, Dr. Guyberson completely rejects the historicity of Adam and Eve and the fall, meaning he does not believe there was ever an Adam and Eve couple directly created by God, nor does he believe there was a fall. He doesn't believe any of the events described in Genesis, the early chapters, are historical. Dr. Albert Mohler, who was the former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, he wrote an open letter to Dr. Guyberson in which he said, "You are straightforward in your celebration of evolution, and you utterly fail to demonstrate how an embrace of evolution can be reconciled with biblical Christianity. Your rejection of an historical Adam and Eve is one precise point at which the gospel of Christ is undermined, and your proposed new and better way to understand the origins of sin is incompatible with the Bible's clear teaching." And those of you out there who are Christians, especially those of you who are thinking about what college to attend, and maybe even more especially for Christian parents who are considering spending many, many tens of thousands of dollars to send their children to a Christian college, need to be aware of something. The vast majority of the Bible departments at Christian colleges are housed by people who do not believe in the historicity of the early chapters of Genesis. They don't believe in a literal creation. They most often don't believe in a literal historical Adam and Eve, nor do they believe in a fall. It gets very interesting to try to figure out what it is they do believe. And they wind up teaching students an interesting way to think about Scripture. More of that will come up from the statements of Dr. Guyberson himself. By the way, Dr. Guyberson also rejects the notion of hell, calling it a, quote, secondary doctrine. Raises the question of what are we being saved from by Jesus, doesn't it? Jesus spoke more about hell than probably any other subject. Was he misinformed? Apparently so, according to Guyberson. By the way, the new way of understanding Paul within Christian academia is Paul was mistaken. He was simply a victim of the beliefs of his day, and when he wrote about Adam as a real historical person, and in fact a type for Jesus, who he called the last Adam, that was just reflecting his ignorance. He didn't know what we now know in modern science, and he was factually wrong. By the way, Jesus also spoke about Adam and Eve as a real historical couple, and I have read some Christian academia folks saying Jesus was also a victim of his day, and as part of his humanity, he also believed falsehoods. Give that some serious thought as you consider whether this approach to understanding Scripture makes any sense at all. And secondly, the whole thing is based on the notion that evolution is a proven fact, which is laughable if you are familiar with all the details. By the way, yet another point where you would think theistic evolutionists would say, well, there's the evidence of the involvement of God. That would be in the amazing design features that we see in creatures. But no, Dr. Guyberson points out what he calls bad design and argues against any notion of divine design. Once again, the world we live in now is not the way it was when God first created it. Not according to the Bible. This little thing called the fall occurred. This creation was cursed and has been sort of running down and degrading since. Paul writes about this also. Of course, Paul doesn't know what he's talking about if you believe the theistic evolutionist story. But the biblical perspective is the world we see has undergone several thousand years of degradation. So when we see something that doesn't work well, good example, how about genetic diseases? How about arthritis? Those are evidence of a broken creation. They're evidence of what was a good design that is now breaking down. It's like rust on an automobile. The rust was not the way it was designed. It is the effect of degradation over time. I've never seen a single theistic evolutionist even consider that perspective. Instead, they take the mainstream perspective, mainstream science that is, which starts with the idea that there is no God. The theistic evolutionist says, well, there is a God, he just isn't very involved. Now keep in mind Dr. Guyberson's position and listen to what atheist biology professor from Cornell, William Provine, said. Belief in modern evolution makes atheists of people. One can have a religious view that is compatible with evolution only if the religious view is indistinguishable from atheism. So there's nothing really new going on here. We'll be back in just a moment. We're discussing the statements and beliefs of Dr. Carl Guyberson, who wrote an article recently lamenting what a terrible year 2013 was for evolution. For more info than we have time to talk about today, see the article Carl Guyberson Unmasks Himself at creation.com. Back to what he said, Guyberson is open in his article. This is the one lamenting what a terrible year 2013 was for evolution. But he's open about the subversive nature of his teaching career at Eastern Nazarene College, which is an ostensibly evangelical Christian college. He's clearly fully aware that his teaching ran counter to the tradition of the college and the expectation of those who sent their kids there. This is a key point that parents need to be aware of. Education is not neutral, and this origins issue cannot be relegated to some side issue of the faith. Guyberson is candid about the number of young people that he convinced that evolution was true. He seems to be proud of it. That they lost their pre-college faith, he blames on the churches from which they came for teaching them the Bible as straightforward history rather than the view that it is poetic or allegorical or whatever. He's also open about the subversive plan that he and other like-minded academics in Christian colleges have to train up kids from evangelical churches in a more enlightened way of thinking about the Bible. Those graduates would return to their evangelical churches to become agents of change to shift those churches away from their conservative stance on Scripture. Unfortunately, laments Guyberson, the result was that those graduates dropped out altogether or left their evangelical church roots, so they did not become agents of change and the churches are still conservative, which is further cause for Guyberson's sadness. Now, a few years after the publication of his book, Guyberson was forced to leave the college where he'd been teaching. Rather than recognize his own accountability in this, he blames fundamentalists from outside the college who brought pressure to bear by threatening to withdraw their donations and to cease sending their kids to the institution. Let me interject something here. There is a current interesting controversy going on at Bryan College, where all the faculty are required to sign a statement of faith. This is common in Christian colleges. And the board clarified the statement of faith to explicitly say Adam and Eve are real people and weren't derived from previous creatures. Now, their statement of faith always implied this, but obviously a number of the faculty were pretending otherwise, as the last number I saw was something like 9 out of the 44 faculty members were quitting. Oh, and by the way, some of them were suing the college. So even though they've signed the statement of faith, they don't believe Adam and Eve are real people. They are, in fact, theistic evolutionists. A rather eye-opening experience for the tuition-paying parents, I suspect. The dismissal of Dr. Guyberson indicates that supporters and parents can bring effective pressure to bear on these institutions that are betraying their heritage. But part of the problem is getting the subversive academics to publicly reveal their real beliefs. Guyberson did that by publishing a book and his articles on BioLogos and even in public debates. Others are more careful, as Guyberson admits he was earlier, just quietly doing his thing in classes before he went public with his book and involvement with BioLogos. This subversion is going on at many Christian colleges, and very often it's going on with the connivance of the college authorities. As Guyberson said, he had no opposition from within the college. It all came from outside. Guyberson cites other evolutionists who also left Christian institutions after years of influencing students to be evolutionists, such as Howard Van Til of Calvin College. But as Jonathan Sarfati wrote, Howard Van Til of Calvin College argued for decades that evolution was no threat to Christianity, and his college supported him. But after retirement, he showed his true colors by abandoning any pretense of believing in any supernatural God. One report says, quote, over the next 2 decades, he became the heretic his critics had suspected. About 9 years ago, I believe it was in 2005, on the website at Abilene Christian University, there was an article bragging about the fact that one of their biology professors had gotten a Templeton Foundation grant to pursue a study. Now, if it comes from the Templeton Foundation, it is theistic evolution. Trust me. Look for yourself. Get the title of the study or the subject matter as portrayed at the ACU website back then. It was to investigate the development of a new Christian theology consistent with an evolutionary cosmology. Give that some serious thought. If evolution is no threat to Christianity, why do we need to develop a new Christian theology that would be consistent with it? When I asked this question of the president of ACU as my son was considering applying there, he stopped replying to my emails. As Don Batten writes, make no bones about it, Guyberson and company are on a mission to destroy the evangelical church to make it just like the mainstream churches, which, having accommodated cosmic evolution, have ceased to believe anything important that counts for eternity. Termites will destroy a building as effectively as a tornado, even if more slowly. The new atheists are the tornado, but the Guybersons are the termites that are trying to do it from within, undercover, even while being paid salaries by the very institutions they are undermining. Consider that a trusted Christian professor can be much more effective at convincing a Christian student to believe evolution and lead them down a path that eventually destroys their faith in God. They can actually be much more effective in this than an atheist. It's time for the church to open our eyes and pay attention to what's going on. If evolution's true, then we need to completely rethink the Bible. But the evidence is not there for evolution, so that needs to be studied, and hence the work of creationist apologists like myself. Give this serious thought. SeeCreationMythOrMiracle.com.